Hey everyone, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I am coming to you today with part four in this series of videos that I've been doing on the King James Bible in America. So in part one, I addressed why I wrote this book right here, The King James Bible in America, an orthographic, historical, and textual investigation. And this was done, this is being done in response to a couple messages done by Brother Rodney about the book and taking issue with some of the things that are said in the book. The second video was about the fallacy of false dichotomy that Rodney used in his video to put me in the same group as James White and Dan Wallace, two people who definitely are Bible correctors and Bible doubters. So you could check that out if you missed that. And then the third most recent one was about Rodney's comments on the preface and the translators of the King James Bible and a couple things along those lines. Let me just say again at the beginning that I have no ill will for Rodney. I love Rodney and appreciate him as a brother in Christ, as a fellow minister of the gospel, the grace of God, and the word of God rightly divided. I just feel that Rodney said things in his video that were not accurate and not correct. And so the videos that I'm in the process of making are designed to address those inaccuracies and mischaracterizations that occurred in those videos. Specifically, again, those are this video here, A Tale of Two Different Schools from September 24, and then part two that Rodney did on the same subject matter on 9/27. And let me say again, the second video was not necessarily about me or my book, but that it was about the words establish and establish and thoroughly, truly, two pairs of words that are covered in my book. So again, when you write a book, you recognize and accept the fact that some people aren't going to necessarily like it or are going to disagree with it. And so I have no problem with people disagreeing with it. My problem is when information is not shared, in my opinion, in a forthright manner and mischaracterizations are occurring. So that said, what we want to look at in this video is what Rodney has to say about the words alway and always. Those are a pair of words that are covered in my book, The King James Bible in America, and that were discussed by Rodney in the video. So the procedure we've been following in previous videos, we're just going to enter into the video and listen to what Rodney has to say. And then I will stop it periodically and offer comments and show you some things and discuss what is being said. So we're going to pick this up roughly where we stopped it in the last time, and Rodney is preparing at this point in the video to talk about alway and always.
I mean, Brian said that dictionaries today, and all along he showed dictionaries all the way. I mean, from, I forget how far back he went, but he showed dictionaries that say that ensample and example mean the same, and alway and always mean the same thing, and that truly and thoroughly mean the same thing, and that establish and establish mean the same thing.
So that's true. In my book, The King James Bible in America, I do endeavor to find the oldest English dictionaries that I can find, anticipating that simply relying on a Webster's 1828 would render the objection, well, that's 200 years after the King James Bible. How do you know that that dictionary is accurately recording what those words meant in the early 17th century between 1604 and 1611 when the King James translation was made? So I endeavored to find the oldest dictionaries that I could possibly find, stretching all the way back to the table alphabetical in 1604. Now, every word that is discussed in my book is not necessarily listed in the table alphabetical, but I still was able to locate dictionaries dating within 50 years of the King James Bible. More on that in the appropriate sections.
No, I won't be able to get through all this in one night or tonight. I mean, I'm not doing this forever, okay? So what I did is I selected a few words so that you could get the idea or an idea of how your King James Bible is the divinely inspired and the divinely preserved Word of God, and that you can rely on it just the way it is, and that not one word has to be changed, and no excuses have to be made for the words that we have in the book that God Himself promised to preserve for you, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen? And let me at this point say here, because I don't want it to sound like Brian is saying that he wants to change words in the King James Bible. Brian is not saying that, okay? And I want to make that clear, because this is not an attack against Brian. But I think there's things in his book that I'm putting the cards out on the table. I just need to present them to you like that. But Brian in his own book said, or even in that video that he made, look, and sample, it's a good word. I don't have any problem with it. I don't think it needs to be changed in the King James Bible. Okay, so.
So in this case, I have to acknowledge what Rodney has said and done here. He is accurate. I have zero problem with ensample. I have zero problem with alway or establish or throughly. I have no problem with these words. I don't think they need to be changed. But like I said in video number one, the fact is that in early American printings, the spellings were changed. This is objective. This is verifiable. This is provable. And I don't think that those spelling changes equal corruptions, because the words carry the same meaning. They substantively mean the same thing, even though they are spelled slightly differently. Okay. Now, Rodney doesn't agree with me about that. He thinks those are not spelling changes. He thinks those are word changes. And now he's going to get into his first example of alway, always.
So, now, at the 20-minute mark, Brian brings in Noah Webster and says that ensample has fallen out of usage. Then he goes to example and says that example means the same thing as ensample. And although there's some truth in that, example has some meanings that are exactly like ensample and vice versa. Here's the problem with that kind of thinking anyway. We may not use ensample today, but it's still in the Word of God today. It's still there for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And that, like, you got, like the guys we watched that video of, they want to take it completely out of the Bible. Okay, that's what they want to do. And of course, I'm saying, no, that's not going to happen. I have my King James Bible there, and, it's getting kind of worn out, so a week and a half ago, I found the same exact thing on eBay, and I bought myself another one. It arrives today. It's right there. Right there. You can't probably see it, but... No, you can't. I put it on the top of some books there. But those things are still in the Bible, and they're in there for a reason. And we'll look at those reasons, okay? We'll look at those reasons right now. And I'm going to begin with the word alway and always. Because, again, Brother Ross said that those words, that the dictionaries say those words mean the same thing. And because I happen to own the entire set of the Oxford English Dictionary, which you saw the picture in that post, right? Just let me explain this to you real quick. This thing weighs about 20 pounds, okay? In this volume, all right, this is where Establish and Establish are. But this whole set came with 15 or 16 books total. There are only, I think, there's four missing from the picture that you guys saw, and somebody put a comment there. But I thought the Oxford English Dictionary had 20. Well, this is where some volumes were combined together. That's why this thing is so heavy. It's unbelievable. I almost break my wrist just holding that thing, okay? But, so the thing is this, I own the Oxford English Dictionary. I'm going to show you pictures of the inside of the dictionary to show you that they don't say that they're the same thing. And then we'll look at the King James Bible, and you'll see that they're not the same thing. Okay? So
at this point, Rodney's getting ready to show you the first picture that he has from the Oxford English Dictionary. So let me just say that at this point in the video, when I watched it, I was shocked that Rodney was actually going to the dictionary. All right. Now, the reason I was shocked is those of you who have been following this, if you go all the way back to August, when this conversation sort of started in earnest, Brother Scott Ray made a video that he posted on YouTube about N-sample and example. And then he made a little snippet video kind of advertising his longer video. And this is what he said in the snippet video. Now, I can't show you this because Brother Scott has blocked me on Facebook, so I can no longer see what he's saying. But it says here, this is from the 1:57 mark. He says in this time frame, he says, it's a word study on N-sample and example because there's a difference between N-sample and example. If you listen to certain other people who think they got to go to the Greek or their Oxford English Dictionary, they're going to tell you the wrong definition or the wrong definitions. So Brother Scott Ray there is saying that the dictionary is going to tell you the wrong definition, that the Oxford English Dictionary is wrong. And let me just make sure you note this last part. I use my King James Bible, stayed with the context, and I derived my own definitions for the words. This statement right here is what had a lot of us who disagreed kind of in absolute bewilderment and puzzled, because how can you come up with your own definitions? And then my video that I made a few months back on N-sample example, further thoughts on N-sample and example, pointed out that there are four different King James advocates, Bible-believing advocates, who are using this methodology of deriving their own definitions from the text, and they all have four different definitions. And my point still is, and was then, this is subjective. Why is it that if there is this so-called built-in dictionary, like folks claim, why are four different King James advocates, four different Bible believers, all coming up with four different definitions? So according to this, the dictionary is wrong, and we should trust the privately derived definition. Now, why am I bringing this up in relation to Rodney's video? Because what Rodney is going to do is he's going to show you the Oxford English Dictionary. So he's in the process of trying to refute the King James Bible in America, and he's going to show you, or attempt to show you, that the words have different meanings and that they don't mean the same thing, which is contrary to what I said. Now, Rodney's use of the dictionary is puzzling to me for another reason, because on October 20th and October 27th, Rodney did two videos talking about the built-in dictionary in the King James Bible and the fact that you don't need a dictionary to define words. All right. Now, I'll have more to say about that later on, but he is going to, in this video, endeavor to disprove what I said in the King James Bible in America based upon the Oxford English Dictionary. All right. Now, I also have an Oxford English Dictionary. My copy is the microfilmed one. So there are four pages there on each page of the second edition. So it's extremely small. You need to read it with, you can only read it with a magnifying glass, really. But I also subscribe or have access to the Oxford English Dictionary online, right? So we are going to use, and let me also say, this excerpt is the same thing that's in this and the same thing that Rodney is going to show on the video. So let's look at what Rodney shows in the video and understand what he says.
This is Alway, and I think you'll be able to see this pretty good. Notice it says here in the first definition, all along, all the time, perpetually, throughout all time. So I'm going to put that up there, okay? Always is a duration of time, continuous, perpetually, okay? Without interruption, throughout all time, okay? Then we have the word always.
Okay, so I'm going to pause it there. This is the version that Rodney showed you, and he showed you this definition right here. All along, all the time, perpetually, throughout all time. Okay, you just saw it in the video. That's what he showed you. That's the image that he showed you from the second edition of the Oxford English Dictionary. Okay, now, there was language above the definition that Rodney had this highlighted in yellow, and then there was language above. So let's go up here. Always adjective. Notice the variant forms of the word, all right? Notice that it is spelled a bunch of different ways. Now let's see what it says. Originally, two words, all in way, in the accusative of space or distance equal all way, the whole way, probably at first in reference to space traveled, this is what he doesn't read. But already in the oldest English, transferred to an extent of time, all along, all the time, continually, afterwards confused with the genitive form always, which has superseded it in prose, always only surviving only in poetry. So this is saying, the part Rodney doesn't read or highlight, that already in the oldest English, alway and always had merged in meaning and understanding. Then look at what it says. He doesn't show you number two. Number two explicitly says that it equals always, the first definition of always, every time, at all times, on all occasions, okay? And then look at number three, in any case, after all, still equals always number three. So what Rodney does is he only shows you this definition. He doesn't point out what it says up here about from in the oldest English they've transferred, the meanings of the two words have transferred together. They mean the same thing. And he doesn't point out that these two things equal always in their meaning. Okay, so he's going to pin this definition at the top. And notice that the Oxford English Dictionary gives examples from 1340, from Chaucer in 1374, from 1398, and then the King James Bible in 1611. And then notice it does the same thing here in a definition that explicitly says that it equals at all times, at all occasions, sometimes, sometimes or occasionally. So the very dictionary that Rodney is using to disprove what I'm saying about these words in the King James Bible in America says that these words have more in common than it does that they have things, differences, I should say. It says right here that they've transferred this, they transferred in meaning in the oldest English that they mean the same thing. Now let's come to the modern entry. This is the most updated entry. We come down here, and it says that, so we're looking at alway, and notice what it says. It says, after the Middle English period, alway becomes increasingly less common in Standard English, being supplanted in all senses by always. By the 19th century, the word survives. So the Middle English period ends around the year 1500. Way before, 100 years before the King James Bible, William Tyndale in 1526 begins the modern English period, which institutes a transition in the English language from alway to always, just like this says. And then let's also notice, okay, that the Oxford English Dictionary says that the first definition of alway equals the third definition of always, that the second definition of alway equals the first definition of always, that the third definition of always or alway equals the second definition of always. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm just pointing out to you that for every single instance, For every single definition of alway, the Oxford English Dictionary is telling you that they are equal to always. Now, so I have an objection here on a few fronts, okay? I can understand possibly Rodney not having access to the online version, which has the most complete and updated information, but he does not deal honestly with the information that he presents to the viewer in this video from the second edition. He leaves out this part about them being transferred. He only talks about this definition, and he leaves out these two, which explicitly say that it's equal to always. So, yes, I have a significant problem with this. There are reasons why I said what I said in the book, that the words mean the same thing, because the Oxford English Dictionary bears this out. And now let's go back and continue watching the video.
In always, here we have at every time, on every occasion. At all times, on all occasions. And then I want you to notice in the yellow part right here. Okay, I'm going to read this part right here, starting right there. Notice what it says. But eventually, this distinction between always and always was lost. And the latter, always, is now used in both senses. So now that's telling you that now, today, always and always, according to dictionaries. Let me say that again. According to dictionaries, are the same thing. So that last sentence is the one that the schools of higher education cling to. Okay, but wait a minute. Notice that at one time there was a distinction. They were separate and individual words. And guess what? In the King James Bible, they're still distinct and separate words. The meanings may have changed to man over the years. Okay?
So I'm going to stop it here again and interject. So notice that he points out this part, okay? But eventually this distinction between alway and always was lost, right? And then he says, well, that's what it means today. That's not necessarily what it means. But what did he leave out when he showed you the entry for alway? This part, that from the oldest English it transferred to an extent of time, etc. And here it is, it was superseded in prose, always surviving only in poetry. So what Rodney is not understanding is that this change, when he's showing you this on the screen here about it, distinction between alway and always was lost and it's now superseded. This was already underway in Middle English and into the early modern English period, well before the King James Bible came into existence in the early 17th century. So Rodney's not understanding, this, or he's not presenting it accurately. After the Middle English period, alway becomes increasingly less common in standard English, being supplanted in all senses by always. That means that it is already happening at the end of the Middle English period into the modern English period, that the transference is already happening. And you can see that, folks, when you just look at the examples, the dated examples that are given. So let me show you. So this is alway. I've read this twice. I've showed you that every definition for alway is equal to a definition for always. So let's click that and let's go look. Right? Let's click that and let's go look. So now we have the entry for always. And let's look at the one that Rodney is showing. So here is the entry that Rodney is showing. All right. And so this is from the second edition of the Oxford English Dictionary, the one that I have over here. And here it does say, but eventually the distinction between alway and always was lost, and the latter is now used in both senses. That was already happening when the King James Bible was being translated. That move away from alway to always was already occurring, as you can tell. And then look again, okay? So here's always. Rodney shows you this. He's going to pin this definition, and he does not say anything about the rest of these definitions. One, the second of which is clearly in the second edition tied to and says to be equal to all along, through all time, without interruption, ever, continually, perpetually, which if you go back, you will see is the exact definition that the second edition of the OED gives for alway. All along, all the time, perpetually, throughout all time. So they mean the same thing. The very edition of the Oxford English Dictionary that Rodney is using says that they mean the same thing. Now, let's just go back and look at this again and see for always that on all occasions, at all times, on every occasion, blah, 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 okay, means the same thing, folks. There's no, every definition for alway correlates with the definition for always. Now, and that change was already happening. If you look at the dates that are given for the examples of these words, they are already occurring. We can go back and look at the Middle English Dictionary. So here's the Middle English Dictionary for alway. And then here are different forms. Alway, also always, okay? And then look at the definitions. All the while, continually, incessantly, always. All the way. So that would be that that really, really old meaning. But notice that even in Middle English, just like the Oxford English Dictionary said, the words have merged together. All right? And you have this. This is objective facts, folks. This is what the evidence suggests. And then we can look at also, we can look at the translational history of the English Bible. So here I have gone through and I have collated and looked up every single time the words alway and always occur in the King James Bible. I've made a table, and then I've gone back and I've looked at all of the pre-1611 translations of the Bible into English, and we can see the exact thing that the dictionary is saying occurring, i.e. a shift from alway to always. So here we have Tyndale, Genesis 6:3. He said alway. Coverdale said alway. Matthew said alway. Gray Bible said alway. Geneva Bible said alway. So this would be 1560. 1568, the Bishop's Bible says always. Then the King James follows the bishops. But you can see very plainly that the exact phenomenon that the dictionary records is happening as we work our way through time with these words. Exodus 27:20. Tyndale, alway. Notice again, there's a variant in spelling even within Tyndale between these two verses. Coverdale, alway. Matthews, alway. Great, alway. Geneva, alway. Bishops, always. Let's look at another one. Deuteronomy 5:29. Tyndale, alway. Coverdale does something different here. The word wasn't there when I looked for it. Matthews, alway. Great, alway. Again, variation in spelling here, okay? Geneva, alway. Bishops, alway. King James, always. So, when you observe what is happening, there is not only no standard orthography on how to spell one word. Look at Tyndale spelling it differently here. Within a Bible, be it Tyndale or Coverdale or Matthews, there's no standard orthography. But there's no standard orthography as we move like from alway to always. And we can see that even when we look at, like, say, the bishops here versus the King James. But these are not, when Tyndale says alway, he is not saying something substantively different from the King James or the bishops, which used a different forms of always. And in fact, Rule number one, given to the King James translators, says that they are to follow the bishop's Bible unless the truth of the original says otherwise. Now, I didn't preload any images here in this particular one of the document Bob 1602, but there's a document that exists at in Bodleian Library in Oxford that has a 1602 Bishop's Bible with a handwritten marginal notes of the translators. So if we compare, so I can't do this for the Old Testament because I don't have access to a 1602 Bishop's Old Testament, but I do have access to a 1602 Bishop's New Testament. And you can see that almost every time, so these are occurrences of always in the King James. Here's one time that the bishops had continually. Notice that the King James, except for three times, is following the bishops. So here the original bishops had always. Here the 1602 had always. So the King James follows what they had in front of them here. Here's an example of where the King James in Acts 24:3 is in italics. Well, the bishops just had ever there, or, you know, like all the time. And here's another example of a change. But almost every time the King James has always, or sorry, the bishops has always, the King James is just following suit. So this idea that the translators are somehow making these decisions based upon some, you know, otherworldly knowledge or information or their ability to meditate in Greek or whatever is simply contrary to the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground demonstrate that they are following rule number one. And when they make a change like this, it's not substantive. It's just a spelling change. We can see the same thing when we look at, so here's more documentation, but let's look at always. So here we have occurrences of always. Notice again, there is no uniformity in spelling. And when the bishops has always, the King James has always. Nearly every single time. And we get into the New Testament for which we can check every single time, starting here in Matthew 28:20, that the bishops had always, the King James had always, except this one time here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. So the historical translational evidence proves that what the Oxford Dictionary is telling us is true, that the words were combined, that as the Middle English period gave way to the Modern English period, there began to be a shift away from the use of always to the use of the word always. Now, all of this is information that Rodney doesn't share with the audience in his videos. So let's go back and continue.
There isn't a man alive who knows why the King James translators use those words. But that doesn't change the divinely inspired, forever settled in heaven word of God. They still mean.
But Bod 1602, a historically documented, verifiable manuscript of the work in progress, tells us that the King James was just following the bishops. And in the very few places that they make a change from always to always or what have you, they are not substantive.
Mean the same things in the Word of God, even though they've changed in dictionaries, see? So, they meant what they meant when they were put there, and the men who put them there transcend the stature and the intellect and the understanding of the men who came after them, who had no clue why they used those words. Okay? So
again, I want to point out, the King James translators are choosing to keep those words because the bishops already had those words and they were following rule number one. Bottom line, end of discussion, end of the story. Now, I have heard others say, well, these words mean the same thing in the dictionary, but not in the Bible. And then they will go back into that contextually derived definitions to say, well, these words mean this, this, and this, and they will say, well, you know, they can mean one thing in the dictionary, but they can mean something totally different in the Bible. Folks, we need to think long and hard. Again, I said this before in a previous video, but we need to think long and hard. Is that true, and what does that mean if we embrace that? We are throwing open the doors then to ultimate subjectivity in the defining of words, if that is what we are going to say. The Oxford English Dictionary, which again, I'm shocked Rodney is even using, does not bear out what he is saying about these words.
So what I want to do is take a few minutes and look at these words in our King James Bible, in our incredible King James Bible. And what I'm going to do is let me put these two definitions from Alway and Always from the Oxford English Dictionary and leave them there. Okay? And no.
So again, Rodney is selectively pinning definitions here. Any evidence of which there is abundance from the Oxford English Dictionary that would speak to these being and meaning the same thing, he has not shown. He has not dealt with it, and now he's selectively pinning the ones that he wants to use to make this point.
Notice Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, let's stop and think about this verse for a minute, okay? Because when you read the Word of God, you're not supposed to speed read it anyway. You're supposed to think about it. You're supposed to meditate on these things. Like, you know, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt meditate therein. You know, the Bible is a book of meditation. It's a book of entering into an understanding of the mind of God. That's what it is. So in this verse, is Paul saying that in his brain, he never stops praying for them? Because if that's the case, then he would never think about anything else, and therefore he could not have penned 13 epistles. Okay? So no, that's not what he means. He does not mean that he's always praying for them. What it means is that every time he prayed for them, he mentioned them. At every time, and on every occasion, at every time, and on every occasion, not sometimes, but every time that.
So, but we can demonstrate that always means the same thing. We can demonstrate that always means the same thing in the very dictionary that Rodney was using. Here we go. Always, always, every time, at all times, on all occasions, opposed to sometimes, occasionally. Right there, black and white, means the same thing. And I'll add to that, what exactly is he saying here when this phrase occurs? That without ceasing, I make mention of you always. Without ceasing, certainly seems to suggest that this is happening without ceasing or all the time, not just on specific occasions. So it seems to me that in selectively using the dictionary, Rodney is now going to apply his selective use of the dictionary to verses and thereby make the verses say somewhat awkward things that you would not normally understand the verse to be saying, because of the way that he's using the dictionary.
He prayed, he mentioned them. Okay, can you see that? Okay, now look at this verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And again, I say rejoice. He's not saying on every occasion that you rejoice, or every time you rejoice. No.
Again, we can prove that always means the same thing as always. using the very edition of the dictionary that Rodney is using. Always, at every time, on every occasion, at all times, on all occasions, all along, through all time, without interruption, ever, continually, perpetually. There it is. Always equals always. But that's not what Rodney is saying in the video.
No, rejoicing in the Lord is a continuous thing in your life. It's a perpetual habit that has no end until the day you meet Him. You see? Rejoice in the Lord always, at every time, on every duration of time, continuous, perpetually, without interruption, throughout all time. That's what it means. It's two different words. It's two different things.
Not two different words. Both words mean the same thing. These are spelling variants. The very dictionary that Rodney is using to try to make these points is contrary to the points he is making.
They don't mean the same thing. Can you see that? Now, I'll show you an example that Brian himself sent to me yesterday, okay? And he told me, look at these two verses, and it just proves to you that always and always mean the same thing. So I looked at them, and I said, well, they don't mean the same thing. So there we go. Psalm 9, verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Okay, so throughout all time, perpetually, without interruption, the needy shall not be forgotten. The next verse that he sent me to compare that verse to say these words are both the same, Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Notice, and keep all my commandments always. Now,
so Rodney's right. I did send him this, these verses, but he's missed the point. Okay. Here's how he's missed the point. I thought Rodney was going to take the same track as Scott Ray, as what Rodney had done in these two previous videos on the built-in dictionary, okay? So if you look closely at these verses, and I might add here that in these two videos from August 20th and August 27th, Rodney is saying that you don't need an English dictionary, and now we find him using the dictionary in this video, but he mentions in that video that he applies the law of first mention and the laws of near and remote context when studying. Okay, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Gail Ripplinger, in her book, The Language of the King James Bible, Discovering Its Hidden Built-in Dictionary, gives instructions for how to find it. And she says, look at the word next to the word in question. Number two, look at the words in the verse. Number three, look at the next to the preceding verse. So I thought Rodney was going to make his case for the words not meaning the same thing based upon the so-called internal dictionary or built-in dictionary, but now he's not doing that. But here's why I sent this to him. Look at Psalm 9:18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish. How long? Right here. How long? Forever. So how always is how long? Forever. Using the methodology of the built-in dictionary, always is forever. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children, how long? Forever. So whether you want to go the track of the Oxford English Dictionary or whether you want to go the track of the so-called built-in dictionary, it's defining always as forever, and it's defining always as forever. So I scratch my head and I say, what are we arguing about what are we debating here? What are we discussing here? Except a really sort of traditional way of looking at all of this that doesn't accord with the facts. Look, I understand. We're tired of critical text modern version advocates trying to take the Bible from us. I get it. I know. So am I. But the recourse and the response to that is not to say things about the King James Bible and the words in it that don't make any sense, that don't accord with the facts, and that create other more significant and substantial problems for our position down the line. So I, using the methodology advocated by first mention, near and remote context, and the instructions of Gail Ripplinger in the language of the King James Bible, it would suggest that these words mean the same thing, alway and always, and they both mean forever. And wouldn't you expect that if the history of the word is that they were merged together as coming out of Middle English into Modern English, and that one replaced the other? These are not wholly different words, folks. They are simply spelling variants. That's it.
The thought is that every time, okay, because that's always, right? Always, at every time, on every occasion, not sometimes. But every time. On every time an occasion or a situation arises where you have to make a choice, not stealing something, not coveting, or obeying God's commandments, that will be the right thing to do. Always, on every occasion that opportunity comes for you to have to make a decision about obeying a commandment, you do it always so it'll be well with you. See, if a person is on their way somewhere and they're just moseying along, and they're skipping rocks on the water, and they're not, you know, they're not really thinking about anything. They're not breaking any commandments. But when the occasion arises, every time the occasion arises, or the temptation to steal arises, or the temptation to covet something that your neighbor owns arises, or any of the commandments, anytime a temptation arises, keep the commandments. Keep all my commandments, that it may be well with thee. And if your children will do this, if they'll have this mindset, that when the occasion arises to break the commandments, and they...
Don't the commandments apply all the time, continuously and perpetually throughout all time?
Obey them instead of following and not obeying the commandments, then it will be well with them forever also. As long as they obey the commandments. Okay? Now, do you want me to go through that again? Because I think you can see it, right? For the needy shall not always, perpetually, throughout all time. They'll always, okay? They're not going to be forgotten. But those who will keep my commandments always, at every time, on every occasion that opportunity presents itself where they could break a commandment, if they will always keep my commandments, then it'll be well with them. So clearly these words do not mean the same thing. I mean, granted now.
So there you have it. They don't mean the same thing, even though the very dictionary that Rodney is using says they do. I sent him these verses in anticipation of his argument being based on the built-in dictionary, which says alway is forever and always is forever, which would mean they mean the same thing. And so why would this be this way in the King James Bible if they didn't mean the same thing? These are not different words. These are spelling variants. They carry the same substantive meaning, whether you spell it alway or always, and that's the situation as it exists.
Now listen,
So what have we seen? We've seen that the very dictionary that is being used says they mean the same thing. information was hid, was held back and withheld that would suggest this. And when we look at the printed history of the English Bible, we see the exact phenomenon occurring from Tyndale to King James that the dictionary says was occurring. So again, at what point are we going to base our beliefs on this about on certifiable objective facts handled and presented and disseminated honestly with what actually the dictionary actually says? And if we're going to say that, well, they can mean the same thing in the dictionary, but not in the King James Bible, that's a dangerous, slippery slope to be on that ends up in complete subjectivity, which I don't think anybody wants. Not anyone who believes that the, not anyone who's a King James Bible believer like myself, who believes the King James is inerrant in all that it reports, contains all the correct readings, and is God's word for English speaking people. Next video, we'll talk about and sample an example.